The biggest thing is our pitching. You know, I think one thing is we're going to throw it a lot more strikes than we did last year. That was evident. Been a message since we came in, which is not top secret by any means, right? But the guys that we have, they're going to be able to execute that more.
That, of course, is Matt Cruchero, the manager of the Kansas City Royals, as the Royals open up their season. Hope abound. Hope eternal. Royals, hopefully, will start the season 1-0. They'll play today at 3:10. We'll talk more Royals baseball coming up later on here on the Sports Ticket. Brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. We have many things to get to. We'll hear from Sean Arimus about the softball season. It gets underway for Beloit today. We'll talk to Brandon Cox as the Beloit baseball team starts their season today. Track and field opening day for area teams. There's All-State honors for basketball players. And also, have our Sweet 16 preview and picks. And Brian Hayne, the voice of Jayhawks, will join us to talk KU basketball at about 9:40 today. But the big news, of course, is what broke yesterday. After 7 seasons at the helm, Sean Arimus has submitted her resignation as head coach of the Beloit girls basketball team. It comes on the heels of one of the most successful seasons in her tenure this past year, as Beloit went 15-6, 8-2 in the NCAA, got a share of the league title, first league title since the 1920 season. 3 league championships under Coach Remus, including 2 previously mentioned. Also in her first season back in 17 and 18. The league titles 18 and 20 are both outright. The 17-18 team went 18-4, 11-1 the NCAA. That was the best season for Coach Remus in her 7 years on the bench. Overall, Shauna compiled an 80-66 overall record, 49-26 in league games. Her team's posted winning records in 4 of the past 7 seasons, made it to the sub-state semifinals 4 times as well. And then the big turnaround from a 4-17 campaign to a 15-6 mark this year, a improvement of 11 wins for Beloit. But she steps down after 7 seasons at the helm, and Dusty had a chance to catch up with Coach Remus and find out why she's stepping down.
Yeah, welcome back here on a Sports Ticket exclusive, as we are joined by Sean Arimus, the head coach, or now former head coach of the Beloit Lady Trojan basketball team, announcing her resignation on Wednesday. Coach, first of all, thanks for taking some time to be with us here and chat about the decision. I know it's probably not a decision that comes easy for you after 7 years as the head coach of the Lady Trojan basketball team and having a lot of success there. And we'll go through some of your accolades here in a bit, but I guess obviously when people hear these things, the first question would be, why would you make the decision to step away now, and what leads into that decision for you?
Sure. I mean, I think that's a valid question. When I took over this program 7 years ago, I really vowed that I was going to make every player feel important, and I wanted my C team players to feel as valued as my varsity players. And in order to do that, I knew, you know, I needed to show up to their games, and I needed to be very involved in their practices and watch every part of them, not only, you know, in practice, but also in their games. And so in order to do that, this year I had to give up a major sacrifice, and that was watching my own son. Hudson was a freshman this year and played basketball, and I missed almost every one of his games because our girls' games go on at the same time as the boys' junior varsity and C-team games. And so I was lucky enough to catch him every once in a while in a varsity match if he would happen to get in. And then I did get to see the C-team tournament. But other than that, I missed them all. And so I just think at this point in time, it's best for my family and it's best for Hudson, to be honest, that I'm there for him. And because, you know, my core love for the game and my program is to be visible at everything that the girls do, and that came at a cost. And so I'm just gonna let somebody else take it, and I'm just gonna enjoy the last 3 years I have of watching everything that Hudson does on the basketball court.
So, again, 7 seasons as the head coach, a lot that stands out here. You won 3 league championships and did a lot of great things with this program, and had your big turnaround this year after going 4-17 a year ago and improving to 15-6 this year and a co-championship tie for the championship in the NCAA. 80-66 record overall, 49-26 in league games. Those are some of the things that you accomplished. When you hear all that, or when you look at what you did accomplish as the head coach, what are the things that are going to stand out the most about your time as the head coach there for the Lady Trojans?
Oh, I just think the memories. I mean, you know, wins are awesome. And we put a number of them together, and I had some really great kids, some really great teams go through. But the memories that we've shared, and just when I see these kids in public and the family atmosphere, the family that we have kind of made just through the Lady Trojan Nation is what I'm going to value most. And then we experienced some really weird things, you know, that whole season of COVID. There's nothing that's going to top that in terms of weirdness and what we had to do as coaching staff to get through that season. And we've had a lot of adversities throughout my 7 years, but definitely the memories and the kids and the family that was created is what I'm going to value the most.
You talked about family. Talk about how special it was to coach your daughter and even some of your cousins in the past and just other family that were all part of your program.
Yeah. So even at a very, like when I coached junior high many years ago, I did have the opportunity to coach two of my first cousins, and that was fun. You know, that kind of got you into the groove and kind of brought, you know, this love of coaching. And then I had the opportunity to coach my niece Tatum, and that was fun as well, you know, for 4 years. And then coaching Peyton has been nothing but amazing, and getting to watch her growth and experience the ups and the downs together. And I think I valued her opinion and her abilities so much, and relied on a lot of what you know, she was able to give to this program. And so, yeah, it's definitely, you know, as you look back, there has been a lot of moments that was family-centered. But I truly believe that all of these kids, you know, you have them for such a, you know, it's a long season, and you really get to know them, and you really, you know, their goods and their bads, and they share a lot if they feel comfortable. And so we've really created this family atmosphere that I think is pretty special.
You're obviously not going anywhere. You're going to be helping out here in the spring with the softball team and coaching there, and obviously you're still teaching in the school system, but is there anything that you'd like to say as I give you a platform to the Bullitt community as you head out as the head girls coach?
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, there's no better place than Bullitt, and I've been lots of different places, you know, just playing this amazing sport that's brought me so much. You know, I've traveled the world playing basketball, and now having the opportunity to coach, it's been amazing. And basketball has given me a lot of ups and downs, like everything else. But the Bullitt community is the most supportive, and you know, we've brought in huge crowds in the girls' games, and the support that they've shown these girls, even in the seasons that maybe we weren't the best. They still supported them, and they still always, you know, gave them positive encouragement. So I truly believe there's no better place, and I just thank them for their love and support of not only me, but this program.
Shauna Remus, now former Bullitt girls basketball coach. Coach, we certainly thank you for all your help and helping get the program out there over the radio and video stream and everything over the past 7 years, and we wish you nothing but the best moving forward.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, I know we're kind of short on time because we have a jam-packed show today, but I do want to make a couple of quick comments. Shauna has been nothing but professional and super easy to work with over these 7 years as being a head coach of the Bullitt girls basketball program. And, you know, she took this job. There were three coaches. She became the third coach in 3 years. Dallas Cox was kind of ousted, and he did a really good job with that program and went to various times of state. Gary Lowry had the job for a year, and then Shauna came in, and I thought she did a really, really nice job. But also on top of all that is you do coach your daughter, as you talked about in that interview. And so you have that coach-daughter relationship. And we have many situations like that across the country and even across the state. And we've seen, you know, dads be coaching their own daughters or sons, or moms coaching their own sons or daughters. So it is a different dynamic. But, you know, what... You know, I'm not surprised by this. A lot of people close to the program probably knew this was a distinct possibility that she would step down. For people that are outside the program, they were very surprised by this. After I talked to a few people last night, they were stunned by it. And I'm like, they're like, well, you're not surprised? I'm like, no, I'm not.
No.
Because I just, you know, this just happens when you cover a program, you're close to people. And I knew that she had been missing out on her son playing basketball last year as a freshman, but she now has 3 years to enjoy watching him play. And then she was able to finish out with Peyton. And so the timing makes perfect sense. And, you know, listen, coaching is important. Being the leader of a program is important. But most important is your family. And
yes,
this is about family. And I totally get it, understand it. And honestly, I think I've been more surprised if she was going to be that coach next year.
Just all the stuff that is involved with that. It's like, yeah, this, I think, like you said, you're close enough to it. You talk to them each week and you know where they're at. This was not unexpected for those of us that are closer to it.
Absolutely. So we thank her for her 7 years, and now we'll see who will be the next head coach of the boys girls basketball program. You're going to inherit some really good talent. You got Cassandra Thompson, Addie Budke, Brecken Boudreaux, to name just a few. I don't want to leave anybody out. Olivia Wright will be a returner. They've got good size. I think the biggest question for this team next year, obviously, other than finding out who the head coach is going to be, who's going to be on the staff, will also, of course, be who's going to be your point guard.
Point guard, yep.
Because they need a point guard. There's no doubt about that. So that full interview will be posted here later this morning. You'll have that posted on social media, and we'll have it linked there, ncksports.com and all that good jazz.
It should be going out here in about 10-15 minutes. So
perfect. Thanks for getting a hold of Shauna. We appreciate Shauna and her cooperation in joining us last night to record that interview. Coming up in 30 seconds, we turn our attention to spring sports, baseball, softball, beginning today.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. You depend on your vehicle every day to get you where you need to go. The best way to keep it ready and avoid breakdowns is through proper maintenance. Whether it's oil, fluids, filters, spark plugs, belts, hoses, or brakes, we can help. Give yourself the peace of mind of knowing your vehicle is ready to go. For fast, friendly vehicle maintenance, call Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Find us just south of the courthouse or on the web at kieferbrothers.com.
All right, Dusty, spring sports really get going today.
Yes, we have a few area track teams, actually, that will be on the field on the track today as the Bennington Invitational takes place today. At 3 o'clock this afternoon is when that'll start. Lincoln and Rock Hills from the area, and the Osborne Bulldog track and field teams also starting their seasons today at the Lacrosse Invitational at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So that's a look at track and field. And then both Beloit and baseball and softball teams are opening their seasons today. They were both supposed to open earlier this week, baseball on Monday and softball on Tuesday against Concordia, but the nice little winter storm we had that came through said, nope, we're not opening spring sports on a day of winter. So they moved to today, and both teams will be taking on Ellsworth in doubleheader action here this afternoon. So catch those doubleheaders starting at 4 o'clock. They're in Beloit with NCAA league play.
Beloit has a base of 5 seniors, including all-leaguers Lance Lundeen and Brody Schroeder, along with Jarek Rexroth, Noah Gerstner, and Christian Mears. And Dusty had a chance to catch up with Coach Cox.
Welcome back here on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com, the sports ticket, where Brandon Cox, the head coach of the Beloit Trojan baseball team, coach, getting set to open out the season today. Just kind of looking at your group here this year, I know you didn't have everybody come back out, but you have a couple all-leaguers and Lance Lundeen and Brody Schroeder that are back for you that'll kind of provide a base, total of 5 seniors with Noah Gerstner and Jarek Rexroth and Christian Mears as well. But kind of looking at your team and as you get ready for this season, what are some of the things that you've seen so far in practices and what you have back getting ready for the 2024 campaign?
Yeah, you know, practice so far been going really well. This last week is the first week we're able to have everybody at practice, you know, with the success the basketball team had and all that kind of stuff, and spring break trips and all that. So we're finally getting the whole team together, so we're able to see, you know, what we've got. And so far this year, like I said, I've liked what I've seen in practice. There's been a good improvement over the last few weeks here. And, you know, like you said, we got a couple of all-leaguers back and 4 or 5 upperclassmen there that have helped us out in the past. So we got a good core, so I'm looking forward to seeing what these guys can do throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, I think obviously one of the biggest things when you talk about a baseball team and how you can have success is I think most people would agree that it starts kind of with pitching and how you can do with pitching and defense. And I know your staff's going to look a little bit different this year, but what do you see from that aspect and how are you looking here early on?
Yeah, you know, that's what we always tell the guys. If you throw strikes and play defense, you'll be in any game. And so, you know, early on in the season here, we're going to kind of hang our heads on some of our upperclassmen here, have them go out there, throw some strikes, and then play some good defense behind them. And we'll see how things kind of progress throughout the course of the year and see if some younger guys kind of step up and maybe fill a role with the pitching staff as well.
And then, obviously, when you look at who you've got back in the field and then hitting and things like that, you know, years change, teams change year to year with the style of play probably that you'll have. You know, one year you might have some power-hitting guys, and then the next year you're going to have to, you know, scratch some runs together, maybe like the Royals did with Keep the Line Moving in 2015, right? But what do you feel like your strengths are maybe offensively and what you could do on that side of the plate there?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. You know, we don't have a lot of power in the lineup, but I do think we've got probably, you know, six or seven guys that are all kind of the same. You know, they're going to put the ball in play. They got decent speed. So we'll see what we can do, you know, kind of a little bit more on the small ball side of things, moving runners over, maybe getting the running game going a little bit. But like I said, you know, I feel like we have some guys that are interchangeable, and it's going to be a fun time throughout the year to see how we can kind of change up the lineup and see how we can produce offensively.
I know you focus on, you know, when you start the season, just what's ahead of you, these first couple games. And obviously, I know you got a lot of things that you got to figure out once you get on the field. But as far as what the league actually looks like as a whole, who are some of the teams that you're looking out for in this league this year and seeing some of the talent that they have here?
You know, our league's pretty good this year in baseball overall. You know, I think there's some pretty good pitchers in the league. You know, Sacred Heart throws out the Bogart kid. He's pretty solid. And then you go over to Ellsworth, and they got the Ross kid, who's probably an All-State type player as well as the Bogart kid from Sacred Heart. And then, you know, Southeast graduated quite a few guys last year, but they always seem to come up with some quality pitching and know how to play baseball over there. So it's going to be a pretty competitive league overall. And it's going to be a good year to get out there and see how we compare to those teams.
Coach Brandon Cox of the Beloit baseball team, we certainly thank you for the time and wish you the best of luck this season.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dusty.
So that was Brandon Cox, the head baseball coach of the Beloit Trojans. They start their season today. Definitely don't have some experience pitching coming back. Bryce Beiser, Quinn Eilert, not playing this year. Maddox Waters, who was an all-leaguer a couple of years ago, he's doing track and field. Bryce is doing track and field as well. And sometimes you see that with seniors is they'll especially if they played as a varsity, if their younger years, that they might make some changes their senior year. Some kids are just kind of burn out from sports in general, or they just want to chill a little bit there in their last sports season, get ready for college. Others want to try something different. And so you see this quite a bit over the years, especially in the spring sports, which makes it more challenging for a head coach of baseball, track and field, softball, obviously, in these spring sports to deal with that. But you just adjust and go with who's going out and do the best you can with what you have. And so that means more opportunities for probably some younger kids to pitch. And I think that's the biggest question for Beloit, obviously, is pitching. And then they won't have maybe – I still think they're going to have some pop in their lineup, but pitching, of course, is that's how, especially at the high school level, you got to pitch well. And if you don't pitch well, it could be a long year, and it could be some really long games and lots of walks and everything else. And then, of course, play really good defense. You can pitch. If you throw strikes, you pitch, and you play good defense, you'll be in many, many games, even if your offense struggles. So that's a look at the Beloit baseball team. They open up the season today at 4 o'clock against Ellsworth in a doubleheader. Looks like a beautiful day to open up the season for once. That's pretty nice. Softball, Dusty. It's the Sean Arima Show. We're going to hear from Shauna again. But you want to go ahead and lead into this one?
Yeah, Shauna and Tyler Odell's actually still doing his responsibilities as a coach as well, but Shauna's kind of coaching just in case he would have to miss a game to see Chloe play, which that's somebody that Beloit's going to have to replace, obviously, this year. Is Chloe Odell, an All-State pitcher and a starter for this team for 3 years, and like you'll hear about in the interview, she kind of lost a year because of COVID, so just like everybody did, right? And so she probably would have been a four-year starter for this team, and so that's something that definitely will need to be replaced and will be difficult to do, but they do have people that are going to step up. Olivia Wright will be a more of a featured prominent pitcher this year for this team, and they do have all-league players coming back. Peyton Remus is back, and Olivia Wright was an all-leaguer as well last year. So it's a season that the Lady Trojans are looking forward to, and again, Shauna Remus will be the co-head coach this year for the Lady Trojans. We chat with her here about how the Lady Trojan softball team is looking this year. And back on the Sports Ticket on Kitty Country 94, Shauna Remus, a co-head coach with the Lady Trojan softball team, with us here to preview the season getting started today, Coach, with a doubleheader with Ellsworth. And I know that looking at this group this year, you and Coach Odell obviously have some players that you need to replace, and at the top of that list would be his daughter, Chloe, who was an all-league pitcher for you for multiple years and now playing at Butler. And then Haley Channel provided quite a bit for you last year as well as an all-leaguer. As you look at that, and I know pitching is always going to be the top of the list of how you can have success on a softball field, but replacing Chloe obviously is going to be a big thing for you guys this year. What are your thoughts on that and how things have looked so far as you try to do that?
Yeah, Chloe was a staple for this program the last, 3 years for sure, and then she was kind of cheated out of that COVID year. But replacing her, it's going to have to be a collective effort. And, we're going to rely a lot on Olivia. She's going to be, she's had a lot of experience last year. She pitched and had a lot of success. And then, Peyton's going to kind of come out of retirement. She hasn't pitched since she was younger, but she's doing fine in practice. And so she's going to do some pitching. And then Samantha Thompson will be relied on a little bit as well. So it's going to be a group effort because, replacing Chloe is difficult, and she was just able to strike so many people out, and so we're going to rely on our defense a lot, and I think we have a very, very sound defense to do that, so excited about the opportunity for everybody.
Obviously, you're coming off of a very successful year last year, 20-4, and you did make it to the state tournament. Looking at what you have back this year and seeing what kind of success you could have just from what you've seen from the group so far, what are some of those goals? I know that you've also added a couple players for the ones that you might have missed out on and have a pretty good chance of doing some good things again this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got our core is back, and, like Kaylin and Jaden Fallis are doing awesome, and they're going to be relied on a lot this season as well. We got Ella Manning and McKenna Channel as well, and then we were able to add through the homeschooling new rule that Kansas put in. We're able to have the Smith girls, and what they've given us is awesome. And just their athleticism and everything is going to allow us to replace some of those people that we mentioned from last season. But it's going to be a collective effort, and we're just going to have to continue to grind every day and get better every day. And hitting is going to be critical. We're going to have to put up some points. And so hitting is going to be critical, but I think we've got the group to do it. I mean, they practice hard. They're very focused right now, and we definitely need to get a game under our belt just because it seems like we've been practicing. And so we just kind of need to see where we're at. And so it's going to be fun to play Elsa for sure.
Yeah, you were supposed to open earlier this week against Concordia. Instead, with the winter weather that just decided to show up, you take on Ellsworth today. Do you know much about Ellsworth, or are you just kind of more focused on what you guys need to do as you get ready for the season to get going?
Oh, no. I mean, we know a lot about Ellsworth. Mm-hmm. In terms of they have really good hitters, and they're a group of kids that play year-round. I mean, they're constantly playing softball. And so, yeah, we know a lot about them. They have to replace some kids who have been battling some knee injuries, and then they did have a senior that graduated as well. So they're going to be very sound. They're very well coached. They're going to hit the ball well, and they're going to field well. And so I think it's going to be a great test, our first night out. And I think the kids are excited for the opportunity.
Shauna Remus, co-head coach of the Beloit softball team here on the Sports Ticket. Coach, we thank you again for the time, and good luck as you open out the season against Ellsworth today.
All right, thanks so much.
Shauna Remus, that's the most airtime I've had. But Shauna's co-head
superstar.
Coach. Yeah, absolutely. She's co-head coach of the softball team, stepping down from being the girls' head basketball coach. If you're just tuning in, Shauna Remus, if you missed that interview, we got posted on social media now. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and so forth and so on, ncksports.com, katiecountry94.com. But the softball program, obviously, I think the softball program is similar to the volleyball program. The softball program hasn't had as much success as the volleyball program, maybe not as long of a stretch patch of success, but it's trending in that direction. Mm-hmm. And you know, what Kelsey Treister did when she was there, and then, of course, Tyler Oldham, what he's done with the program, and then, you know, Shauna helps out, and there's others that help out as well. I don't want to leave anybody out. But there's no doubt, you know, Maid State a couple of times now. They, you know, the girls' sports programs, you look at, I mean, girls' basketball had a really good year. The volleyball team made state and beat the defending champion in pool play and lost on tiebreaker. They might have been state champs this year. They placed in top four multiple times. And so, you know, when you look at the team sports on the girls' side of things, things are in some pretty good places. Now you got to find a new head coach for the girls' program, obviously. But the softball program has been very, very good here for a while now and has been a consistent challenger to making it to a state tournament.
Yeah, and she told me they added the Smith sisters. I'm like, you put Smiths on a diamond, and things are going to probably go pretty well.
Usually so.
Like, that's definitely something that's going to add to their program here this year. So it's going to be interesting to see how they, again, fill without Chloe and Haley Channel and move forward without them. But a very good group of players that have had a lot of success that are ready to go again, for sure.
Once again, Ellsworth Beloit softball begins at 4 o'clock today, and Beloit Ellsworth baseball at 4 o'clock as well. Just adjoining diamonds, you can go back and forth and watch all the action. Both of those doubleheaders are right there in Beloit to open up their season. Real quickly, All-State hoop honors.
Yeah, a lot of those. You can find the full list always at ncksports.com. And Bryce Beisner continues to have accolades roll in as he is the 3A Player of the Year by the Wichita Eagle for boys hoops for Beloit. First team 3A, also a third team top 15 all-class selection. And Quinn Eilert, Noah Gerstner, Eli Johnson, all honorable mention selections as well for Beloit and 3A boys. 3A girls, Addison Budd and Peyton Remus were honorable mention picks. And then a 1A Division I boys, Johnny Hamel, a third team pick for Osborne, Dalton Garman, Nathan Goheen, Osborne, Reese Remus of Lakeside, Cooper McDill of Rock Hills, honorable mention. 1A Division I girls, Gracie Reiner, second team for Osborne, Grace William of the Letty Dogs, Bethany Similink from Rock Hills, honorable mention. Carly Brummer is a first team pick on the 1A Division II girls team from St. John's Tipton. Her teammates, Aubrey Gingler and Jenna Gingler, honorable mention, along with Cameron Ritzke of Thunder Ridge. 1A Division II boys, Edward Herenick, third team pick, Tyson Gates, honorable mention, both from St. John's Tipton, and Smith Center's representation. 2A girls, Dakota Kattenberg, third team, Cameron Hutchinson, Gracie Kirkhoff, honorable mention, and Tegan McKenzie on the boys' side, an honorable mention pick in 2A. And again, all that posted at ncksports.com. I post those teams as I get them on the story that's posted there for All-State, All-Class.
This is a Sports Ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Brian Heaney, the voice of Jayhawks, coming up in about 5 minutes. The Royals open up their season today as they host the Twins at Kauffman Stadium. One of the great things about baseball season is it means, hey, warmer weather, usually, although we're starting the season in March. The two teams finished on opposite sides of the spectrum. The AL Central, the Twins won the division. Royals were in last at 56-106. Twins are 87-75. First of three between the boys in blue and the Twins. First pitch at 3:10 today in the season opener. They'll have tomorrow off, and then game two of the series will be Saturday, game three on Sunday. Cole Reagans, who pitched great after coming over in the trade for Aroldis Chapman from the Rangers, went 7-5, ERA of 3.5 in 12 starts last year. He'll take on Pablo Lopez and the Royals. Cole Reagans, some people said that Reagans is a sleeper to win Cy Young. That's how highly people think of Cole Reagans. And we heard about at the beginning of the show, Matt Couture, on the pitching, which will be improved. But what about the defense?
If somebody's going to beat us, they're going to have to beat us. You know, I think we're going to play good defense. And the more strikes you throw, the more decisions you make, the opposing hitters make, it's hard to hit. So the more you challenge guys, the more you're in the zone, the better chance you have of being effective.
We won't know the official batting order and lineup until closer to game time, which isn't until 3:10 later this afternoon, but there's a projected one. Mikel Garcia, be third baseman, would bat leadoff. Bobby Witt Jr. playing short would bat second. Vinny Pascatino, after missing most of last year with a shoulder injury, he'll play first base and bat third, is the projection. Salvador Perez would bat cleanup and play catcher. MJ Melendez, the left fielder, would bat fifth. Hunter Renfro, the addition, a power bat in right field, would bat sixth. Adam Frazier playing second base because Mike Massey's on the injured list to start the year with a back injury. Left-handed bat there. Adam Frazier hitting seventh. Nelson Velasquez, who has tremendous power, who they got from the Cubs last year, he'd probably be the DH today. And Kyle Isabel would be your center fielder, who plays great defense and gives you a little bit of pop. You'll be fine. The starter rotation, you get Seth Lugo going on Friday. Brady Singer will go on Saturday. Michael Wacko will go on Sunday. And your fifth starter is Alec Marsh, and Jordan Lyles goes to the bullpen. The Royals have revamped the bullpen as well with some free agent signings and trades. On paper, the Royals look like they can contend for the American League Central Central Division. I think it's a division that is absolutely wide open. I think the Twins lost some serious pieces. The Guardians are retooling. The Tigers are a team that's improving. The White Sox, I don't know what the hell they're doing. But anyway, they just get a whole bunch of Royals cast offs.
And not the good ones.
And not the good ones. So real quickly, predictions for the Royals this year. I'm going to start. Last year, I was way optimistic. I said 75 and 87. They were 56 and 106. The last couple of years, I have had the Royals optimistically higher than what they ended up doing. I've not even been close. I've been close on other projections, but not on the Royals the last couple of years. So maybe it's my head instead of my heart, or my heart thinking instead of my head. I think the Royals do not win the division. I think it's too big of a jump to go from 56 to boom, win the division from last to first. It doesn't happen very often. It can happen. Miss the division, it could happen. But I got the Royals. Maybe I'm more optimistic than some. Maybe I'm pessimistic compared to some. But I think going from 56 wins to 82 would be one heck of a jump. I got the Royals being right around 500 late in the season, which could be bad at around the trade deadline. And if you think you're in the wild card, I got the Royals 82 and 80. Call me optimistic, call me pessimistic, 82 and 80. They get a winning season, step in the right direction to build for next year.
I had a Twitter group I'm in that started just throwing in records right before we started the show here. So I was like, I'm going to have to put mine in here anyway. Sure. So I had a 88 and 74. I was like, 32 win improvement would be wild. Dude, yeah. I've got 79 and 83. I'm with close. You, kind of hovering around 500, and just not. This year's not quite the year that it's going to go all the way to be a playoff team.
Right.
But they're going to contend this year, and then hopefully next year they turn it and get all these young guys will be just another year older.
Problem is, a couple of these pitchers are on opt outs. They can opt out after if they have a really good year, and if they
pitching,
if the Royals have a good year, that means those guys probably have a good year. But anyway, and they're trying to build a new stadium and everything else, so the Royals should be improved. Dusty and I both think they're going to be improved by 20 or more wins. We shall see. That's still a pretty big jump, even though we're saying we might be a little bit more pessimistic. Well, not we're optimistic, but
I think
maybe
we're
not
both
as
fairly optimistic based not, on a 56 and 106 last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But we're not quite as bullish.
Yeah.
That would be the word as other people would have. The Junior College National Basketball Tournament taking place this week in a men's tournament. Hutchison losing on the quarterfinals yesterday to Connor State 91-69. Barton winning over Northwest Florida State 87-73. Barton will play in the semis against Indian Hills at 5 o'clock tonight. In Hutchison women's tournament, Rodney Paulin got to wrap up in Wyoming. Rodney such a good referee and official that they needed him to come all the way to Wyoming because they have really bad ones there. And that's a compliment to Rodney because he's really good. But anyway, Hutchison beat nailed it. 59-54. They move on to the quarterfinals. Dodge City lost by 1 point. They're done for the season. Sweet 16 men's NCAA tournament is tonight. It's Clemson, Arizona, the first game at 6:09 on CBS. Who you taking, Clemson, Arizona?
I got Arizona.
6:39 on TBS tonight, San Diego State and UConn. I think that's going to be a really, really tight game. A lot closer than people might expect, but I'll say UConn survives.
Same.
Okay, 8:39 tonight on CBS, Alabama and North Carolina. Get prepared for lots of points, lots of up and down. That should be maybe the most exciting game of the night. I think Alabama has a shot in this one, but I'm going to take North Carolina.
I'm going to pick Alabama.
All right.
I'm going to do it.
All right, 9:09 tonight on TBS. It's Illinois and Iowa State. I have Iowa State in my bracket. I believe going to the Elite Eight against UConn, but I am picking against my bracket on this one. For some reason, Iowa State does badly in the Sweet 16. They're 1-5 all time. Illinois, I think, is playing some really good ball, as is Iowa State. I'm going to pick Illinois to win this one in a heck of a game at 9:09.
Week ago, I had Iowa State. I'm with you, though. I've got Illinois just the way they're playing right now.
So we agree on 3 of the 4. Coming up to talk a little basketball is Brian Haynes, the voice of the Jayhawks. Miss any of those interviews with Brandon Cox, Sean Remus, posted on social media and on our websites.